Pastor John is taking a week of vacation, so you've been graced with me being here to share from the Word this morning. What I'd like to focus on today, as you see in your bulletin cover, is the one worthy of praise. As I was looking through the scripture this past week and seeing a lot that was just on my heart, Pastor John shared a little bit about it last week, about just kind of the enthusiasm or excitement that I've had at the board meeting. But I'm really excited about what God is doing here at Pulaski Wesleyan. Nobody else, I guess, sees my perspective on everything. So I want to share a little bit about what I have been seeing here happen at Pulaski Wesleyan over this past year. The first thing that I want to highlight is that the youth ministry has grown. God has blessed us. Since the fall, I think we've had around 18 to 20 new kids come into the youth ministry, from just the surrounding area, the high schools. A lot of it's been through the high school lunch ministry that I've been able to be a part of. And so I praise God for that. I'm seeing just a lot of new faces and new lives come into this to be able to hear the gospel. And I'm giving God all the glory for that. And I thank Him for that. The kids' church and the Sunday school curriculum that we're changing. And I'm just seeing a lot of positive things happen there. The kids are excited. They're diving into it. I heard Linda Basciani mention that the kids were looking through the scripture and they all had the same Bibles and they were all looking through and they're excited and they wanted to look in. They said, "Are we doing this again?" And that I guess melted Linda's heart, and so I was excited to hear that as well. But I've also heard on the other end, I've heard leaders who were part of the kids' church who have been revitalized and who have actually enjoyed working with this curriculum that we have now, and because they're seeing the fruit, they're seeing God use it to minister to the lives of the kids here. One thing that John's mentioned just kind of briefly, I don't remember which service it was, but I knew it was fairly recently. We have a new organizational flowchart, and if you're in any area of leadership, you've probably seen it. But if you're not, John, he's like, "I got to show you guys," because it just kind of gives a idea of how and everything's structured. And to me, that's exciting. I mean, you might not be a flowchart person, but to me, I like seeing that, because one of the main things that accomplished was to show us the holes that we have in the ministry, the areas that people are ending up doubling up responsibilities or that are just getting missed and are lacking in specific leadership. And so to see that happen and to see people come in and take positions of leadership, it's been a blessing to me. I've seen numerous leaders step up and take over places such as the nursery or the VBS or the Sunday school program, the discipleship ministry, the worship team. We've seen a lot of different things grow because of this leadership that has come into play. And we also have some physical representations of what I'm seeing happen here spiritually. And part of that is the youth room right now is being renovated. We're getting a larger space. We're knocking a wall down between two classrooms and opening that up. And it should be done here within the next week or so. And I'm excited for that, because that gives the teens a space to grow. That gives the teens a place where they can be and they can belong and they can identify with, that we really do care for them, so much so that we'd have a place for them to come specifically and not just kind of push them off here or there throughout the building, but specifically have something designated for them. So I'm excited about that as well. And we've seen the sound system's been installed up in the TLC Kids Center area, and that actually increases the amount of ministry that we can do. We have more tools to use, and that increases the potential that we can do ministry. And one thing that I'm excited with that is I've seen people step up and are willing to learn how to run different things so that we can grow and we can expand, and we're not going to be dedicated on a slim few to be able to run different aspects of ministry, but everyone's willing to be cross-trained and to learn. That's exciting for me. I've seen even the little things, like I was showing someone how to run the printer over at the office, and it's a fairly complicated printer. It's not something that you can just straightforward hit. It has a touch screen and everything. And so to be able to do different things on that, it can be complicated. And I've seen this one woman, she came in and she was willing to learn. And since then, now she comes in and does all her own copying. And for me, that's a win. That's a small win. I see it. It excites me to see that they're willing to learn, even if it is small things. That's exciting. And another thing John mentioned last week is that the downstairs of the office is being renovated, hopefully here shortly. And the idea for that is to be used for the care and share and have that ministry grow throughout the community. It is something that can be used and has a lot of potential for what can happen down there. I mean, I know John's dreaming now, thinking we can have counseling sessions, that it can grow into something like he saw back in Michigan about with Love in the Name of Christ, where it was multiple churches coming together and just serving the community. I mean, it could grow into something like that, and that's exciting to see. That's exciting to have here at Pulaski Wesleyan. So all this stuff that is happening in here in Pulaski, in our community, one thing I want to kind of just highlight, and it's an interesting thought that I've had. We've seen in the community over as of late, there's been like a lot of meth labs being busted, a lot of drug busts and things like that. And I know some people would look at that and be like, "Wow, I didn't know there was all this happening here. You know, our community is really dark." Just thinking about that, I'm looking at it and be like, well, it was busted. It's gone. I mean, God's cleaning up the community. And so I'm giving him praise for that. It's just seeing a lot of this stuff happening, not just with people here in our congregation, not just with the ministry here at the church, but also in the community. We've been praying for that for a number of years, and to see it actually come about, it's exciting. And I'd like to praise God for that. So if all this stuff that's happening right now is of man's doing, is of our actual labor, then what do we have to show for it? What does it mean, ultimately? If it is just us doing it, it means nothing. In and of our own selves, all of this happening, all this good that's happening here would really mean nothing. But with God in it, with God working and ministering here in this community, it has all the significance. That God is receiving all the glory and all the praise is the focus, the significance. And this morning, we're going to focus in on Psalm 150. So if you'd like to pull out your Bibles, because there's not going to be anything on the screen for you this week, you have inserts there in the Bible, or in the bulletin, where you can write down different notes. But we're going to focus on Psalm 150, and I'm reading from the ESV translation, and it reads this: "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." So a few things that I want to highlight through here. I want to break this down. I want to break this psalm down and kind of look at the different aspects of it and see what it all entitles for us here. The first that we see is the decree to praise the Lord. So praise the Lord, that highlights the fact that there is one to be praised, and that one is God, that is the Lord. He is the one to be praised. So who is receiving praise? And that is God. Now we see that in the first section. The second is where. Where do we see this praise happening? We see it happening in two places. We see it happening in His sanctuary, and we also see it happening in His heavens. And the heavens could also mean, as I was looking, it's the same word that is used in Genesis when it's talking about the expanse that was created in creation. So it is literally in the air, everywhere, that is being where His praise should be. We also see, thirdly, We are to praise Him for His mighty deeds. So this is what? What are we to praise God for? And His mighty deeds. The next is according to His excellent greatness. So why praise God? Well, we are to praise God for His excellent greatness. And the fifth, I'm kind of condensing a few of these, the verses that are there, is we're to praise Him with instruments. Okay, we see that there's numerous lines that are mentioned here with different styles of instruments that are mentioned to praise Him with. And lastly, we see at the end, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And that is who is offering the praise. Everything that has breath is to praise the Lord. So let's dive into this a little deeper. Let's break each one of these down and kind of discuss the significance of them. So the first one is, who is to receive praise? God is the one to receive our praise. He is the one who is worthy of that praise, and is because He is our Creator, because He is faithful. We see here in Psalm 9, verse 2, it says, I will be glad and exult in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High. God can be praised in any situation, in every situation. I know at times it may seem that it's hard to praise God, but there's always something in a situation that may be happening, no matter how good it is or no matter how bad it is, to praise God for. And you might say, but Pastor Mitch, I lost a loved one. How can I praise God in that? Well, you can praise God because He is sovereign, because even though it is sad to lose someone that you may have loved, you know that they had the opportunity to hear the Word of God, and that He is ultimately to be praised because He is a holy God, He is merciful, He is just, and He is faithful. A little illustration for this is that when Shar and I were in Haiti, we had a great time down there serving. It was challenging over those 5 months, but through that time, we actually made a lot of friends that were down there. And one of the workers on our Wesleyan compound, his name was Frère Bonheur, and it's Brother Good Hour is what it would translate to our English. But he was there. He was doing a lot of the maintenance on the compound. He had his family. They were living in one of the Wesleyan-owned houses down in one of our compounds right next door to where we were teaching English. And he had some little girls that were there. And those little girls, they were just light. They were a joy. Sometime between our English classes, Shar and I would be there. We'd be set up and prepped, and we had a projector that was on one of the walls for the senior English class because Justine, who was teaching that class, was sick that week. So we had a video that was being shown to them during that time. But prior to that coming, so we're down there, we have everything set up, and these two little girls come in, and so we're speaking Haitian to them and having a great time. They're seeing the light of the projector shine up on the wall, and Shar starts moving the mouse around on the screen, and they start attacking it. And then, so we open up paint, and then they stand there on the wall, and Shar outlines them in paint. So then they're seeing, we're actually on the screen, and it was just exciting to have that. Well, after Shar and I came back, about a year later, we found out that one of the little girls died. She died from something that was very simple. It was an abscessed tooth, and it ended up going septic and poisoning her whole body, and she died from that. And just at that same time, when Shar and I were up in college, our friend Jason, he had an abscessed tooth, and he just walked down the street to a clinic and had it remedied, had antibiotics, had the tooth extracted. It was no big deal. It was just done. But for them there, without the knowledge necessarily of what it was and what could happen, it was just the ignorance that was there. With the fact that it was a poor place, she ended up dying from something that here would have been a relatively easy fix that we wouldn't have thought about. We just would have gone and gotten it done. It wouldn't be anything worse than a common cold here on comparison. But there, it actually took her life. And so how can you say, praise God through this situation? Well, we can say praise God because even though she died young, she was blessed to be in a family that knew God, blessed to be in a family that looked and dove into His Word, and that she had the opportunity to actually hear the Word of God and to know Him even for her short life. And you look at that situation, and because of that, you can say, praise God. Praise God that He put her there in that time so that she may hear the Word, so that she may be there and to be able to get to know Him through her family, through the Word that was there. 1 Peter 1:6-8 says this, "In this you rejoice, though for now a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you've loved Him." We see that through this, she had the opportunity to have Christ revealed to him and to love him. The second area that I want to look at, so we've seen here in this first one, is that the one to receive praise is God, and He can receive praise in any situation. The second section is where are we to praise God? Psalm 9:11 says, "Sing praises to the Lord, who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples His deeds." Psalm 18:49 says, "For this I will praise You, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to Your name." Psalm 22:22-23 says, "I will tell of Your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise You. You who fear the Lord, praise Him." In Psalm 34:1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." The Old Testament, we see here, so we're talking about where to praise God. We see in the Old Testament that the God commanded the Israelites to build the temple or to have a tabernacle for Him to dwell in, to be among them. A specific physical place that was designated as a sanctuary. And so we see them, they would travel for miles to come for the different festivals or for the different celebrations to Jerusalem where the temple was. And so we see that they come to a specific place. And we might think today, oh, we have church. We're here, we come to this sanctuary to praise God. But we also see that it says come to a sanctuary, but also praise Him in the expanse. And we see in the New Testament when Christ is talking to the Samaritan woman, He says, now you worship on the mountain, you Samaritans, but we Jews, we worship in the temple. It won't matter. There'll come a day where you worship in spirit and in truth, because the temple or the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit is to be within us. And so if we're praising God in our sanctuary, it's praising God in our being, in all that we do, in all that we say, no matter where we are, no matter what people we are around, we're to praise God, offer Him thanks for the situation, offer Him thanks for what He is doing. And this is something I've been growing in myself. One thing that I was working at, but prior to coming here to Pulaski, for that time period when I was actually hired in February, and I didn't actually get here until August. So there was numerous months of working on originally getting my visa to come here. It took about 6 months entirely to get it all done, about a month of writing the paperwork out, and about 5 months of processing. But during that time, I worked in a grocery store in the back room in a meat room. And, it wasn't the most glorious thing to do, cutting up meat and washing dishes that were back there that were full of raw meat, or the dreaded rotisserie oven that had all the grease baked on it from hours and hours. It took me originally about 3 hours to clean that thing. But through that time of waiting, I was able to praise God no matter where I was at. And one thing that I see that, excuse me, one thing that, here we go, that I was able to see happen at that time is Terry, my boss. He didn't know the Lord at all, but he knew that I was wanting to be a pastor, that I had a degree to be a pastor. And while I was there, he called me Reverend Black, and it was very funny because he had some questions. Because throughout the whole time, I was joyous. There was a song, I forget who it was by, but it says, you know, in everything you do, do it to the one who made you, because he made you. And that originally, I let that become my theme song as I worked there, because it wasn't the greatest job to have. It paid bills, which was nice. But I was able to have an attitude of praise to God that no matter what was happening, no matter where I was at, I was praising him. And through that, I was able to witness to this man, Terry. And I don't know where he's at now, but I was able to be faithful through that and to be joyous in the Lord. And it was all because of him that gave me the strength to do that. And also, there was a time, it came up until recently, where I wasn't really able to praise him actually in every situation. So in that situation, it was easy because I didn't know Terry. You know, he was basically a stranger or my boss, and I was able just to kind of have a fresh start. But with my family, I would admit it was a little hard for the ones that don't know the Lord to actually share with them specifically what God has been doing in my life. And even as I've come here and they've asked, how are you doing? It's like, oh, I'm doing good. Yeah. Yeah, kind of surface level stuff. I'm doing well. Health is good. I've been able to enjoy working in the youth ministry. It's been good. But I never really expanded on that with them, on what God is really doing spiritually, inwardly in my life, and like I would do here. Because sometimes it's easier to proclaim what God is doing rather around a stranger or around someone you know, like are 100% sure they're going to accept it. You know, they're not going to, you know, scoff at it or anything like that, or they're going to fully understand it. So, you know, being here at church, you can say, oh, God is doing all this awesome stuff, and really mean it because you can be open with them. But sometimes when you have loved ones that you care about and you have something that you really want to share with them, but you're afraid to. And so for a time, I was afraid to actually share all that God was doing. And I came to realize that I was actually robbing him of praise. C.S. Lewis mentioned, I read an article about his view of praise, and it was on his his review of the Psalms. I forget the title of the book. It's something about his reflection on the Psalms. And the way that is talking about praise, because he described praise as the overflow of joy that is in a person. Prior to that, he was kind of misunderstood what praise was, and he thought praise was something like, oh, like a weak being would need like a compliment or flattery. Where people would say, you know, oh, give me praise, you know, help puff me up. And he was it originally when he thought of that and thought the psalmist kept telling us to praise God, he was like, well, why does God need to be praised like this? And it came from his faulty understanding of what praise really meant. Praise is a natural, as he described it, a natural overflow of joy that comes from being excited about something, whether it is excited about a sports team, whether it's excited about a game, whether it's excited about a person or a family member. If I was to say that my wife is beautiful, isn't she? I'm inviting you to praise her because it's an overflow that is coming out of me. So praise is a natural overflow that comes from enjoying something to the fullest. And so the one who is most valuable, God, you know, our natural overflow of being filled with him and enjoying him to the fullest is praise. And so the more we praise God, the more we are enjoying God. the more we are enjoying God. You know, God is the creator of the universe. He is the most good thing. He is goodness. He is love. He is kindness. And so for us to be fully enjoyed in Him, you know, that is to find the full satisfaction in us. You know, we find full satisfaction by enjoying God. The third section that I want to jump to is for His mighty deeds. And we see numerous times in the Scripture that God's deeds are highlighted, whether it be from Him saving David from his enemies time and time and time again, whether it be from Jesus healing the blind man or healing the lame person, whether it come from the plagues, from creation itself, whether it comes from Jesus dying on the cross, sacrificing His life for us so that we can have a right relationship with God. When it comes from His rising again from the grave 3 days later, and then His ascension into heaven, we see God's mighty deeds time and time again, and He is to be praised for that. Psalm 18:3 says, I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Luke 18:42. And Jesus said to him, Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Fourth, for according to His excellent greatness. Psalm 7:17. I will give to the Lord the thanks due His name. Sorry, the thanks due His righteousness. And I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 21:13. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing your praise. We'll sing and praise your power. Psalm 99:3. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is He. Isaiah 12:5. Sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. God is excellent greatness. He is holy. He is just. He is loving. He is merciful. He is righteous. He is good. He is sovereign. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. And He is omnipresent, just to name a few. God is great. God has a lot in His character. So we see things here that we may ascribe to greatness. We may use the word awesome in a casual sense, but the true word of awesome is to describe great, great awe. It is supposed to be a large word. It's not be like, oh, yeah, that piece of paper, that's awesome. Yeah, that's good. That's using it flippantly. But God is truly awesome in its fullest sense. Fifth, we see with instruments. Psalm 22:3. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. So this one here, we see praise Him with instruments. We see that frequently. We do that frequently here. Every Sunday morning we have a time of worship and praise, and we choose to use instruments and voices to praise God. But there are numerous ways to praise God, and it's not only through instruments. We can praise God through the other forms of the arts, whether it be painting, whether it be drama. We can praise Him through our attitudes, through our actions. It doesn't have to be necessarily through instruments. It could be through our jobs. It can be through where we serve. It can be through sacrificing out of our plenty or out of our much to those who are in need. Many ways to serve God and to express praise to Him. But one thing I found interesting as I was looking through Scripture and looking for different times and places where they praised God. We see that when Solomon came into reign, David had a lot of things set up, prepared for him, because he was not allowed to build the temple because he had too much blood on his hands. So Solomon, his son, was the one to build the temple, but David prepared things and had things all ready for him. And in 1 Chronicles 13, verse 5, we see this, taking a breakdown of the Levites who were there. There was 38,000 Levites in total, and they were just being broken up to the different areas of job responsibilities and where they were going to serve. And the one that kind of jumped out to me was that 4,000 were praising the Lord with instruments which David had made for giving praise. 4,000 were giving praise to God with instruments. I'm just trying to think of that. You know, we've seen like mass choirs and large orchestras that were here, and you know, I bet they wouldn't be over probably 100. Maybe 150 people. Imagine 4,000 offering praises to God through instruments and through voices. That's just at times I can see the awe that would happen there and the glory that would be given to God's name. Lastly, we see everything that has breath praise the Lord. Philippians 4, 8 and 9 says this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think of these things. So as we look at that, we see all those different qualities and things that are mentioned. That doesn't necessarily mean different things here. That can mean everything in that area fits God. You know, because God is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent. And so he is worthy of our praise throughout. In 1 Chronicles 16, David's Song of Thanks is what this is entitled. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones." So now as we've focused in and kind of looked here, one thing that I noticed that stood out time and time again in some of the Psalms and especially here in this section is that it says to call upon the name of the Lord and to make his deeds known among the peoples, to tell of his wondrous works. So now I'd like to offer a time here this morning, if I can find the yellow microphone that Sri had. I want to offer a time for you here to give praise to God. It can be something simple. Lawrence, would you mind walking that around? Thank you, sir. It can be something simple. It can be like, praise God for this. And so, and I'll begin. I'm going to praise God for family. Praise God for a loving church family. Praise God because he is holy. It can be something as simple as that, or it can be longer. So I want to give us here a time to actually apply this to our lives here, to our worship, to our praise, and make his deeds known. So is there anybody here who would like to offer a word of praise to God this morning? You just put your hand up. We have one up here. All right. And just take a moment, kind of think and reflect. Over this time, as Stan's going to praise God here, it can be in any situation that we can praise God through. There's something always to praise him. And it could be for simple things. It could be for complicated things. But I think it's good for us as the body to actually offer praise to God.
This is more than a word, but it's something that happened 12 years ago. I had a 27-foot boat with a swim platform on the back. And we were always breaking down, so I put a 15-horsepower motor mount on the back of this boat. And if we broke down, that was to be our spare engine. On one bright summer day, we took off from our camp toward the channel at Sandy Pond. And one of my cousins was husky. I said, I asked him to put the motor on the motor mount on the swim platform. And I said, did you tighten it? And he said, yeah. I said, are you sure? Yeah. So we're sailing across Sandy Pond. And my other cousin said, did you put the motor on the swim platform? I said, yes. He says, it's not there. And I look out in our wake. There is our bubbles in the water. So we stopped, went back to there, anchored. And this was summertime. We dove for an hour in 13 feet of water. But it was sunny. We dove and dove. I kept going up and down, up and down. I was getting a headache from the pressure changes. Could not find it. And stupid me, I forgot to mark that spot. I went back home and went out to find another motor. And someone says, go out and look with your depth finder or your fish finder. Maybe you can find it. I thought, that's not going to work. So I thought, let's just go out again where we were and look again. So I went out to the same, what I thought was the same area, but now I had no reference. There was no bubbles. There was nothing. I just went out arbitrarily into Sandy Pond to where I thought the motor fell. And we were praying. And again, we dove for an hour. And the headaches from going down to 13 feet, staying there for a minute and coming back up were overwhelming. Could not find that motor. So I was mad. I said, come on, let's go. So the guys went to pull the motor, pulled up the anchor, and the anchor was stuck in the rocks, I presumed. And they couldn't get it up. So I said, let me put the boat in gear. We went forward, backward, trying to loosen up the anchor. And then I had a couple of guys go up in the bow and pull up this big mass of seaweed, and there was the engine stuck on the anchor. What are the odds of that happening? I mean, to just go out arbitrarily into Sandy Pond, and even if we were there looking for it and saw it, we could probably never catch it with the anchor. But we happened to catch it in a place where it would not dislodge, brought it to the surface, sent it into the shop, had it cleaned out, and to this day, we still use that 15-horsepower motor. Don't we give praise to God for things like that? That to me is a miracle. And I'm sorry I took more than a word.
Amen. Anyone else who would like to offer a word of praise to God? We have some over here.
My praise is not nearly as elaborate or long. I just thank God that I've got to work and home every day this week with this crazy weather we've had. 81 has been a disaster, and I've gotten there safe and sound every single day.
Amen. Awesome.
I'd like to praise the Lord because I've been sick. And I got the shingles, which there was a long story in between all that. But I praise God because I got it, but I have had a very mild case of it, and I was able to get the antiviral medicine that helped an awful lot. So, but if you think you want to get that shot, you might want to do it because it ain't no picnic.
Anyone else? Here, JP.
Hello. So I was supposed to have my final procedure Friday. It was supposed to start at 9 a.m. And come to find out the equipment in the room where my procedure was malfunctioning. So that was my first part of good news. Then I get there and it was supposed to be an in-and-out procedure. I had a stone in my bile duct, so they're supposed to go in and remove it. So then I was told I'm not going to go under for it, so I just had local anesthesia. Then they were going to have to, I had this bag for the last 8 weeks. The bag was probably going to stay with me. I might have to stay overnight, which obviously poor Lee was going to go up for an in-and-out procedure. He was going to be there all night. So I might need to come back for another procedure if they couldn't get it. And then what ended up happening is it was going to be 2 to 4 hours, whatever it took, and ended up being like 15 minutes because the stone had already passed.
Amen. Anyone else here? Anyone else like to offer praise to God? All right, Marcy.
Regarding my my transplant that's coming up, they now have a date, and I'm leaving April 6th, and... was keeping myself in a place that when I do go in for this, I should be in good shape.
Amen.
Thank you for all your prayers.
That's great. Anyone else? Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord God, enthroned in heaven, we thank you, we praise you this morning. Lord, we look to you here now. Show us in our hearts how we can praise you in every moment of every day. Lord, the situation that we can see your hand moving, whether it is in tragedy as we see it, or whether it is in times of celebration. Lord, we seek to praise you, to love you. God, we see time and time again in your word that no matter what the situation, that we are praising you. We see that David, even in the midst of trials, he would say, "Nevertheless, I praise the Lord who is sovereign, who is God, who is above all." We thank you. We give you praise in this morning. In your name, amen.